to lead and guide us and show us the way. Amen. Amen. It is an honor. It's a privilege to just stand here before you this morning. As Pastor said, there is a word for you this morning.
Amen.
God has a word to listen for the voice of God. And I know all of this sermon is for me. Amen.
All right.
But there's something in here for you.
All right.
If you would, I want you to grab your Bibles. And I want you to turn with me to John 15. And while you're finding your place, John 15, I'm going to pray to God. Almighty God, we just thank you this morning.
Thank you, Father.
Lord God, we come before you to hear your word.
Yes, Father.
Not just here at CLLC, but there's many ministries, many pastors, many ministers, men and women of God that are delivering your word. Mm-hmm. And Lord God, we pray right now that you will give each and every one of us what we need this morning. Open our hearts, open our minds, that we may be attentive to what you have for us this morning. Lead us by your Holy Spirit. Teach us all things. Give us understanding that only comes through the precious Holy Spirit. We pray right now that you would do these things that we ask. In Jesus' name's sake, we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you, Father.
Now, many times when I'm looking for a book, I'm drawn by the title. So I want to begin just by giving you the title of the sermon, just as you would if you were looking for any old regular book. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The title is Abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ. And we're going to begin to read in John 15, and we're going to start with verse 1, and we're going to read all the way down to verse 12. And the Word of God reads thusly, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And I'm reading from the King James Version. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are cleansed through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Wherein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love.
Yes.
If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you.
A lot of words
there, a lot of things that Jesus spoke to his disciples. Before I begin, I want to just kind of paint a picture of where this is all coming from. It is the beginning of the Passover, and Jesus and his 12 disciples, or the apostles at the time, had entered into the upper room. We all heard about the upper room. Mm-hmm. But very few of us have really studied what happened in the upper room. We know they ate. We know that Jesus gave them a few words. But in that upper room, this was really the last Passover feast that the apostles were going to have with their Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And during that time, one of the things that Jesus did to his 12 disciples is he washed their feet. Mm-hmm. There he was not only just washing their feet, but he was kind of passing the torch. And he was symbolizing the cleansiness that was taking place. In order to go out and do anything from God, you have to be clean.
All right.
And he said, you're clean because of the word. Mm-hmm. Just imagine, I want you to picture this. Mm-hmm. Jesus washing their feet. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the word. Mm-hmm. And he's washing his disciples' feet. And he instructed them, I want you to do this for one another. Something else that happened is the traitor was revealed during this time. He revealed Judas Iscariot as the traitor. And he commanded Judas to go ahead and do what Satan has put in your heart. So at that point, he couldn't do anything else but go. After that, it was only 11. The 11 apostles began to give their loyalty to Jesus. Jesus begins to comfort them because he was telling them, guess what, I have to go away. Mm-hmm. But don't worry, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Mm-hmm. And I'm coming back to get you. But while I'm gone, you have a work to do. As he continues to comfort his disciples after he finished with giving them the comfort that they need, the last verse in chapter 14, he says, arise, let us go hence. Which brings us to chapter 15. Now, we don't know if they were still in the room, if they were on their way. All we know is that Jesus said, arise, let us go hence. It was time for Jesus to end his ministry. He was going to give his life for the whole world. Just as he said, he was going to rise from the dead with all power.
Yes.
And thus was going to begin the ministry of the apostles. Just wanted to paint a picture. So here we are. Jesus has begun to preach to them. And we, those of us that are students of the Bible, we understand this to be the upper room discourse. And the upper room discourse, it starts in the upper room and it ends with them entering the city. But as an introduction, I want you to listen to this. John 15 opens with an agricultural image. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Uh-huh. Or gardener or vine dresser. Many interpretations, they all mean the same. Now for the apostles, this image had to have resonated with them because they lived in a society where farming was key. Mm-hmm. Many of them had farmed. They knew people who worked in the fields. So this was an important description when Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. And just as important to them, they understood that the vine was the symbol and badge for God's people. God being the vine and his people being the branches that were supposed to reach out to the world. Amen. So here's Jesus saying, I am the true vine. Mm-hmm. Now we know that as Jesus was saying this, he was trying to build a relationship between the vine and the branches. We know that branches receive everything they need to survive from whatever they're connected to, which is their vine. Amen? Yeah. If that relationship remains strong between the vine and the branches will produce fruit.
Amen.
But if that relationship fails, mm-hmm. and fruit isn't produced, we are told that the gardener will come by and take them away. Amen. Jesus shares with us that he is not just the vine, but the true vine. And this is important. In making this distinction, Jesus is letting us know that, hey, there are other vines out there. In other words, there are other ways to live. Mm-hmm. Other vines out there in the world where, you know, we might attempt to try to gain some kind of personal fulfillment or find purpose. There are other ways to live if you want to do that. So if not denying other vines, so if Jesus is not denying the other vines, we can't deny that there are other ways to live. Amen?
Okay.
But what we do have to do is we have to accept what Jesus said. He said he was the true vine.
The true vine.
In John 14 and 6, Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Mm-hmm. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's letting them know, I am the way. Mm-hmm. People, I have chosen many ways out there to live, but I am the way. So as I was with God this week, and when you read this, there's so many ways you can preach this. Amen. There's so many different ways I've heard it preached. But God said, I want you to concentrate on a word that Jesus used 9 times. Mm-hmm. In these 12 verses, 9 times Jesus said, abide.
Abide.
All right.
Abide. Think about that word. A-B-I-D-E. Mm-hmm. Abide. And we're going to look at that word that Jesus used 9 times in these verses. And I'm going to give you about 5 points. Not really 1 through 5, but we're going to use each letter of the word abide.
All right.
And just kind of break it down into points. Amen?
Amen.
Let's look at the letter A in abide. The letter A, we're going to use the word acknowledgement. And alignment. So if you're taking notes, write down acknowledgement and alignment. Again, Jesus said, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. If we're going to abide in Christ, we have to acknowledge what Jesus said. Mm-hmm. And we have to accept what he said as truth.
All right.
He is the vine. Mm-hmm. No, that's not what he said. Mm-hmm. He is the true vine.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
True vine.
He is the true vine, not just the vine. There are many vines out there.
Mm-hmm. True vine.
There are many ways to live. I've tried a few of them. But now I'm connected to the true vine.
That's right. Yes.
Make it plain.
And acknowledging Jesus as the true vine, we are expressing our belief that Jesus is the Son of God. Mm-hmm. He is the Savior of the world.
Mm-hmm.
It is to believe that it is only through Jesus that we can find salvation. Amen? Mm-hmm. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." We all know this. "That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish."
All right.
"But what? Have everlasting life."
Thank you.
I know we can quote it, but do we believe it?
All right.
That's key.
Do we believe that? We acknowledge he is the true source of all we need. Do we act like he's the true source? Or do we get upset when certain things don't go our way?
Wow.
Amen.
Wow.
I got one help on the front row. Amen. While this may cause some concern and be viewed as narrow-minded, you know, they call Christians narrow-minded. We got a narrow-minded view. There are other ways to God. No, it's not. Because my Jesus said he's the only way.
The only way.
One and only.
He's the only way to get to God. All other paths, dead. They come to a dead end. You ever hit a dead end street? Mm. And if you're smart, what do? You turn around. Right? You even look back, "Oh, I missed that sign. I didn't see it said dead end." And you learn, "I'm not going back down that street."
All right?
Right?
That's right.
That's what smart people do. But we don't act smart when it comes to spiritual things. We hit a dead road, we follow a path or a vine that doesn't nourish us or give us what we need, and we continue on down that path. Yep. Sitting at the dead end, car running. Hoping a street's just gonna pop up out of nowhere. And everything's gonna be all right. It's not gonna be all right. While this may cause some concern and view and cause narrow-minded, the reality is that if we are to abide in Jesus, we have to acknowledge some key things that Jesus said. Jesus is Lord. He's Lord of all. He's the Son of God. That he is the only way to God. Through Jesus Christ, we find forgiveness of sins and experience salvation. This is what we are told. In acknowledging Jesus as Savior and Lord, we are therefore committed and aligning our lives with his life. Which comes to the other word, alignment. Alignment. So when you acknowledge, you prove that you believe by aligning your life with Jesus.
All right.
Amen?
Amen.
Alignment. Alignment. Let's look at that word alignment. Now, many of us, I think everybody, if you've ever had a car any period of time, your car has gotten out of alignment. You ever had a car out of alignment? And if you're like me, I wouldn't suggest this, but sometimes to really test it out, you find your little straight road.
You take your hands off.
That's how you can really test if your car's out of alignment. And when your car's out of alignment, at certain speeds, it starts to shake and rattle. Right? It's fine around 30, but when you hit about 45, 50, your car starts to make a bunch of noise. It starts to drift off to one side, and ever so often you go look at your tires and they start to wear on one side, and next thing you know, it costs you more money than it's worth. We're the same way. If you're not abiding in Christ, you out of alignment. You're drifting off to one side, can't keep it in the road. Nothing ever goes right for you.
All right.
Every time you turn around, something's just shaking your life up.
Say so.
And the next thing you know, it's costing you more than it ought to cost you.
Okay.
But when we go to Jesus and we align ourselves up with Jesus, he brings us back in perfect alignment.
Thank you.
So See, when you're in perfect alignment, no matter how fast the Holy Spirit takes you, the ride is smooth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You may not always like what God is doing, but when you submit to His will and His way, everything becomes smooth. You're not drifting off to one side or the other. You're staying right in the lane God wants you to be in. And it only costs you what it's worth. You don't have to worry about your tires wearing down. It doesn't cost you only what you can afford. We've heard the scripture say, the Lord's not going to allow me to go through anything, no more than I can bear, right?
Yes.
Well, that's true. When you abide in Christ, you only go through what you can bear. Let's look at B. I want you to write down the word bond. Bond. When we abide in Christ, we form a bond with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 5 says, I am the true vine, ye are the branches. There's a bond there between the vine and the branches. Amen?
Amen.
He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bring forth what? Much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing.
Absolutely.
The branch, you ever seen a branch grow by itself, just sitting out in the middle of the street?
Wow.
Once it falls off, it's a wrap. That's it.
Amen.
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 You cut off a vine, it for a couple of hours, it looked like it's still healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But it begins to wither away. And what do? When you find limbs and stuff out in your yard? You take them and you get rid of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens with branches and stuff that don't produce anything. Just laying out in the yard. They get rid of them. The Father don't want to get rid of us, but He has to if we're not going to produce fruit. Those who have given their life to Christ, you have been joined to the body of Christ through the baptizing of the Holy Spirit. And in turn, you have fellowship with Jesus. That happens at your conversion. Amen?
Amen.
Where Jesus invites us to abide, He wants us to stay connected and to bond ourselves to Him in love.
Yes.
So you have a choice
mm-hmm.
to stay connected. You have choices every day. I could choose to go down a road or a path that will cause me to lose my fellowship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could choose to go down a path that will keep me connected. That's why it says, abide in me.
Yes.
And I in you.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to get to the point where Paul got. He said, who can separate us from the love of Christ?
All right now.
Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?
Yeah.
He said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have to be determined. You're not going to let anything come between you and your God. What in your life now is separating you?
Mm-hmm.
What is the enemy trying to tempt us to do? To go outside of the will of God? We're being tempted all the time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But God has given us the power to resist.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that if you submit to God, resist the devil, then he'll flee.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be in that order. You submit to God,
mm-hmm.
whatever that may be, whatever God is calling us to do, whatever He's requiring of us, whatever we're not doing, whatever we are doing, whatever that is,
mm-hmm.
submit to God. Then you can resist the devil.
All right.
And it's promised that he'll flee.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when we abide in Christ, which brings us to the I stands for image. Write down image. He restores the image that we're supposed to have. Listen to this in Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. That's mankind. Now, is everybody here mankind? No aliens in here? Everybody mankind, right? All right?
All
right. So we all mankind. We all created in his image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. So let's make it more specific. Everybody is male and female, right?
All right.
All right. So we have been created in his image. Created he them. That's what the word of God says.
Yes.
You and I were made in the image of God. Man was to keep that image pure, but sin has marred that image. Amen?
Amen.
With the fall of man, sin stained the image. What our true identity and true image was supposed to be. So when we abide in Jesus, that image is restored. Because the branch becomes like the vine.
All right.
Amen. And whatever image you had before changes. Because now you're like who you're connected to. So the reason you act the way you act now is because of who you are connected to.
Yes. Thank you, Father.
Maybe there's something wrong with you. What have you connected yourself to? You can't serve two masters. At any given moment, you can start serving the true vine. All it takes is a confession, a commitment. All it takes is to go before God and confess your faults. He is just and faithful enough to forgive you of all you have done. He can restore you and change you into the image that you were meant to be.
Amen. Thank you.
2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. Notice it says in Christ. He is a new creature.
That's right.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. All things become new.
Yes.
1 Timothy 2:3-4. I want you to listen to this. This is very important. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. And to come into the knowledge of the truth. So getting saved is just the beginning.
All right.
Where we stop short is we don't come into the knowledge of the truth. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But we don't take time to get to know him. We believe that God sent his only begotten Son to die for the sins of the world. But we don't take time to understand who God is. So we have to come into the knowledge of the truth. Who is the truth?
Jesus.
He said he was the truth, the way, and the life. Amen?
Amen.
I didn't say it. He said it.
That's right.
Just because we know who saved us don't mean we know who he is. That's why we have to come into the knowledge of the truth. Now, I don't have this written down, but I'm going to give you one of my favorite scriptures.
Amen.
It just popped into my head. It's 3 John, verse 2. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Listen to what it's saying. God wishes above all things that you prosper and be in health. But it's as your soul prospers. Your soul is who you really are. It's not what you see in the mirror. What you see in the mirror today may not look the same next year this time.
That's right.
Give it 10 years and it won't look the same.
All right.
That face gonna change just a little bit. That hair gonna gray just a little bit. But who you really are is what God is most concerned with.
All right.
We spend more time with everything else but what really matters to God. And that's you. The inside you, your desires, your passions, what you really want, your will. This is what makes you in the image of God. He's giving you a will. He's giving you freedom to choose. But he don't leave you out there. He said, I'm going to tell you what to choose, and then I'm going to let you go do it. Because if I let you do it yourself, you'll do it out of love. If I make you do it, there's no love in it. That's why we're so fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yes.
Which brings us to letter D. Abiding in Christ means to live a life of discipline. Write that word down, discipline. Now, when we talk about restoring the image of Christ in our lives, but it has to come through a life of discipline. To be disciplined, one must accept the views of the one we are connected to, not just in belief, but in practice. So if we're connected to Jesus, right? We not only got to accept what he say, we got to do what he says. James made it real plain. Be ye hearers, not hearers of the word only, but doers. I know you know what to do, but you're not doing it. Now that word's for me, and I believe it's for everybody in here.
Amen.
I don't think there's a single person in here that can say, I'm doing everything God's telling me to do.
No way.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We have to be more disciplined. To be disciplined, one must accept the views of the one that they are connected to. The assumption is you're connected to Jesus. Not just in belief. The assumption is you believe what Jesus said. But in practice also, the assumption is you're going to do what he says.
Yes.
Abiding in Christ means we come under his discipleship. That's why the followers of Jesus were called what?
Disciples.
A disciplined life in Christ will produce fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, and this is verses 8 through 10. Herein my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be what? My disciples. As the Father have loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, that's the discipline. Ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments. Jesus was disciplined, and he abided in his Father's love. Now, if we jump back up to verse 2, it says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth much fruit. Let's think about what they're saying. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit. I'm going to just stop right there. That beareth not fruit. Now verse 8 said that if you're bearing fruit, you're his disciples. But if you're not bearing fruit, it could be because you're not disciplined. you're not doing what Jesus said to do. When I'm not bearing fruit, it's clear that I'm not doing what Jesus tell me to do. I'm gonna just throw that out there. And bearing fruit is not just getting people saved. Bearing fruit is showing the fruit of the Spirit in your daily life. People just get saved out of that result of you producing the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, meekness, all these things that the Spirit said we should produce.
Right.
Yes.
People get saved because of who you are and the fruit that you produce. Mm-hmm. I'm almost done. We want to abide in Christ. Which brings me to the last letter. Abiding in Christ is to find everlasting joy. Mm-hmm. E for everlasting. The beauty of abiding in Christ is, guess what? It never ends. It's never over. Abiding in Christ is not just aligning our lives. It's not just the bond. It's not just restoring the image or the discipline. It's a connection that you made that will never end.
All right.
You and Jesus will be together forever. It's not just something we do this week and then it's gone tomorrow. This is forever. Everyone who abides in Jesus, we're prompted by the Holy Spirit to continue to grow and mature in Jesus Christ. It is an ongoing thing. Holiness may start at the cross, but it ends wherever Jesus say it ends. It's an ongoing thing. My Bible tells me we go from glory to glory.
Yes.
From faith to faith. It never ends. Even at a person's last breath, that's not the end.
Thank you, Lord.
It's not the end. Actually, that's just the beginning. This life that we're living now is temporal. There's a whole everlasting life that Jesus has for us. And if we can't do these simple things, how are we going to be able to make it in everlasting life? Now, I'm a basketball fan, and I've been watching the career of a guy named Kobe Bryant. Over the last 19 years he's been in the league. Awesome basketball play. Came in on fire, breaking records. Middle ways into his career, he just skyrocketed into a superstar. Around 2013, things began to change for him.
All right.
Got injured. In and out of games. Here's a guy who very seldom missed a game. Now all of a sudden he's missing seasons. He's just getting older. The game has wore his body down.
Yes.
He's not healing as fast as he used to. He would twist the ankle and be back in the next game. Now he's getting to that age where he's just not healing like he used to. It's just not beneficial for him to continue on. So this is going to be his last season. Many of us are going through the same thing.
All right.
You're just not able to do physically some of the stuff you used to do. Amen?
Amen.
Hips be hurting. My wife and got to the point she can predict the rain. I have to stretch. I was in Sunday school this morning. I had to get up and stretch and move around. I never had to stretch like that before. But that's just a sign. But guess what? When you abide in Christ, your spirit never has to go through that. Spiritually, you become stronger. Your inner man becomes like Superman. Now when you pray, you not only get a prayer through, miracles happen. Although the body is just not working like it used to. This is what God is doing for us. He told us, while you're young, I need you to do a few things, because when you get older, you're not going to be able to do certain things. But he didn't say you were going to be spiritually weak. He wants you to be spiritually strong. That's why he commands the older women to teach the younger women, because they're spiritually strong. The older men to teach the younger men. Younger men, we do all the work. The older men, they teach and lead by example, because you're spiritually strong, because you stay in Jesus. You stayed abide to Jesus the whole time. And now, although you can't physically do it, you know what you're doing. Son, you shouldn't do it like that. You better bend those knees and use your legs. Don't pick that thing up with your back. I know. You better hear what I'm saying. Wisdom.
Amen.
That's right.
We don't want to be old and acting stupid. We want to be wise. But this is the everlasting, everlasting joy that Jesus will give us. Now Jesus is making a call. He's calling us to abide in him. Think about that word abide. If we acknowledge Jesus as our Savior and Lord, if we will align ourselves up with his life, if we will allow our minds and our souls and our hearts to be bonded with Jesus, if we will allow him to remake the image in us that we'll be like Jesus, if we will be disciplined and keep his commandments, there's no limits, no boundaries, how far we can go.
All right.
Amen.
My Bible tells me I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen?
Amen.
How many feel like they can do all things this morning?
Yes.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Stay in Jesus. Stay abide in Jesus. Watch him change your life. Maybe there's some things right now that not quite connected. Tell Jesus all about it. Get connected with Jesus and watch him change your life. There may be one under the sound of my voice who wants that connection. Maybe you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you don't know that he's your Savior, that he died for your sins. Maybe you don't know this. He's calling you today. Maybe you have accepted this, but you haven't really come into the knowledge of the truth. You haven't taken the time to really get to know who he is. Get to know him today. God loves us. He's given us everything we need to survive. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray.
Thank you.
Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth, we thank you for your word.
Thank you, Father.
We thank you for your challenge to abide in Christ. The Lord, we are the branch. And we acknowledge Jesus as being the true vine, the only way to live. the only way to go. We pray right now that you will connect us with the true vine and allow us to bring forth fruit to you, Father, that you may get all the glory. Lord, lead and guide us by your Spirit.
Yes, sir, God.
Continue to bring understanding to this word that was given this morning. And allow us to produce the fruit.
Oh, yes, sir, God.
Much fruit that you so desire. Father, this is our prayer. We pray in Jesus' name we pray.